No. How's everybody doing this evening? Y'all gotta excuse me. I've been emotional all day today. I just imagine carrying around these last couple of years just a bucket full of pieces, puzzle pieces. And you always want to know the truth, and you just get so tired of going through the motions, you know. You work so hard for so long, and it's something that you believe to find out that it was a deception. And you're like, well, what do you know about this one? What is this? How do we know or not? Because you're going to work all that time. You only have so much time to live. Life is short. It's like a vapor, just like he said. You want to make sure you get it all right. And I know the Father's known everything before we even got to that point. And I praise him and I honor him for his mercy and his grace. But taking those puzzle pieces and putting them together and seeing the true picture of what it really is, you know, and as you're going through it, it's when you're on your own private time. I can't show it right now because I'm in front of everybody, but when I'm at my private time like today, it's like, oh, wow, that goes there. And you, wow, that goes there. And I'm like, last year at this time, I was talking to pastor trying to work on the bait boat out there, trying to fast and everything. He's like, brother, that's not what it's all about. He said, you got to look at it. And so we had our Yom Kippur last year, and now I'm better for it this year because it wasn't anything to do about food fasting, just food fasting. It was about afflicting my flesh. My flesh wants to be in command. It wants to be in control. And it'll never want the Father to be in control. And so it lets us be able to examine ourselves. Brother Herman started this off, it was incredible, about pride. He started, the Father using the worker slowly, looking at pride and all what's underneath the umbrella of pride is all these evil friends that come along and blinds us into deception. That's what the enemy does. And so that's what we're doing, is afflicting ourselves, trying to find those places where we may not see it. We may not see it at all. And so we afflict our souls and get close to the Father. And so here we are on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Before, I never used to understand what the word Tishri was. You know, it's September. We're in September, but now it's Tishri. It's the month of Tishri. We say Yom Kippur. We say Yom Teruah. That's the feast of what? Trumpets. We say Yom Kippur. That's the feast of... Right? And we say, what's the other one? We say Sukkot. That's the Feast of Tabernacles, right? Last year, I was listening to, this year, I was listening to a Yom Kippur service from last year. And pastor was asking those questions. And somebody, you could hear somebody say something really dim in the background. And pastor said, oh, man. He says, I was sitting up in my office up there, and I could hear when Brother Scott walks in, and you could hear when the twins walk in, he's all out. He said, I could hear you laughing and all back there, but when I say, all right, trumpets, he said, real low. You know, he was real quiet about it. He said, all right, we're going to get this. But now this year, you know, everything's starting to come together, little pieces at a time. I was reminded, you know, you get there and you listen from since 2015 to all the CDs, all the messages, and there's so much that you can't remember over a long period of time. It's like I was taking all these messages and listening to them for the past 3 days. I'm like, golly, this is so much to absorb all at one time. It would take over a week just to talk about what was said since 2015, 2016, 2017, now in 2018, right? That's 4 years. Well, prior to all of that, I was listening to one message. The pastor, he He said, this all began with when you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. And we've all been changed. I know I've been changed. And then right after Hurricane Katrina, he said there was a scripture in Isaiah 58. It said, when you will raise up the ancient ruins. And you know, there's so much in Isaiah 58. We're going to read it tonight. But raising up the ancient ruins, like I said in my last message for Yom Teruah, it's like we're getting the truth and we keep digging and keep digging. And when you say you will raise up the ancient ruins, we're pulling up the truth. We're dusting it off. We're finding out what the truth is. And so in Isaiah 58, we've been raising up those ancient ruins. We learned the word Moedim. Anybody remember Moedim? Seasons. And it wasn't the fall, winter, spring. It wasn't nothing to do with that. It was about Yahweh's appointed times. Yahweh's seasons, his times, his days, his years, his appointed times. If we miss, we find out we'd be in trouble. We was in trouble. A lot of trouble. So in Isaiah 58, it says, cry aloud, spare not. We already automatically know now, after a couple of years, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, Yom Teruah. And show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Now we just learn we're in the age of Esau. And you see words pop up, you start remembering everything that we learned, little pieces at a time. You know, since we was little kids growing up, we learned the wise men, we learned Jingle Bells, we learned the Easter Bunny, we learned all this stuff, and we know it by heart because we was little kids growing up. Now we're learning Yom Teruah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. It's taking a little time. You know, I was overwhelmed this week because I'm like, golly, it's so much to learn. But we are getting it. We are getting it. It's taking a little piece at a time. And it all starts coming together. Before, I was like, okay, I got to learn these words. Yom Teruah, Teruah, Yom Kippur. Now I'm like, okay, this, it's a war and a marriage. It matches the scripture from the beginning to, it's a marriage and it's a war. You just got finished talking about Joshua. Be only strong and courageous. And so it goes into everything bleeds into Yom Kippur as we read about it. It says, in the house of Jacob their sins, yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They asked of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul? You see the word afflicted? You think about Yom Kippur. And thou takest no knowledge. Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. It is such a fast that I have chosen. See, they were doing it their way. But there's a Yahweh's way. A day for a man to afflict his soul. Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day of the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go forth before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth the finger, the speaking vanity, we talk about the flesh here, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters will fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. What are we doing? We're building the old waste places. We're bringing back what's been covered over with paganism, lies, deception, and deceit. He said, when you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. And we all took it upon ourselves to believe what was being told by the prophecy, and we did that. And now we're raising up the ancient ruins, and we're doing what's right. Whose waters fail not, and they shall be of thee, shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairers of the breach. I guarantee you that didn't come even close to entering the mind of anybody's minds when we read this at first. It takes time and doing what the Father says and for him to show us, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. I was talking to my wife this afternoon. I said, you know, when I was first married, when we was in our 20s, we used to party pretty hard. And I'm talking about dangerous party. I said, you know, we put our lives on the line to go do things. We jumped out there and, I mean, we did some risky stuff, crazy stuff. I said, you know, I remember that time I was in that little Civic coupe going 100 miles an hour through the Pensacola tunnel. Drunk on Wild Irish Rose, cruising as fast as we can go, jamming to the music, just listening. That's risky to jump out there and do something. And you know in your mind, you're thinking that you can get arrested. Somebody can pull out in front of you. They don't care. We're having a great time. The flesh is just on the roll. But I said that to say this. I've also had times where I remember I was a little bit younger. Went out to the store, friends I wasn't supposed to be hanging out with. I was told not to hang out with those friends, but to me, I was like, they was cool. So I hung out with those friends. I remember going to the Philisac. We walk in the Philisac, and one of my friends, so-called friends, he grabs one of those bottles of alcohol, that Mad Dog, and he sticks it in his pocket like that, and he walks up to the counter, and he buys a bag of chips. And we walk out, he said, it's easy to steal. You just buy something. Put it in your pocket and act like you're there to buy something. We did that twice, and I saw him get away with it. And boy, he said, hey, it's your turn. And my heart was pounding. And I'm walking around, I'm looking around, lady's not looking, and guess what I go and do? I copy off everybody else. But my heart was pounding. But I also said that to say this, I did it. I went and stole it, put it in my pocket, went and did what we had to do. I don't want to get into those details, but I said that to say this, that today, from this evening till tomorrow afternoon, is Yom Kippur. It's the Day of Atonement. And I remember Pastor saying in one of the messages, you know, we've done a lot of daring things. The Father saying, won't you do this? Won't you just try it? You tried so many other things. Why can't you just put your flesh on the side? Forget about business, I'll take care of your business. Forget about food and water, I took care of your Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, for 40 days and 40 nights without food, bread or water, none. I sustained him. I can sustain you. You just got to trust me. Just put it all on the side. Put it all on the side and stay focused on me. Don't let no distractions get in for one day. Because why? Because when the real day comes, you're going to need it or you're going to get shut out into outer darkness. That's not a place we want to be in. We're not going to be funneling around and say, I thought about all these messages I listened to again and gathered all of the information again. I'm like, man. I really wasn't ready last year. I'm so glad he gave me mercy and grace, and he didn't come this year, because I'm still learning. I'm still gathering information. And so then Marianne and Tyreek have a wedding, and we did it under the hoopah, and everything that they did, and I'm like, wow, that's the wedding banquet in detail. And it just starts coming together in your head. There's another puzzle piece. There's another puzzle piece. And then you go back in scripture. There it is there. There it is there. And there it is there. Joshua, war, the war sound. Oh, look at the wedding. Oh, and so you just keep going through all the pieces of the puzzle and put them together, and you start doing those things. Isaiah 61, 1 through 11. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste places. There it is again. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame you shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I will direct their work in truth. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Thank you, Lord Yeshua. As a bridegroom decked himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels, for as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. That day is coming. I'd like to talk about a bunch of these, but I got other things I'm going to talk to. There's no way you could sit here and talk about all these things. You're going to have to go back. I'm telling you, you have to go back and listen to them over and over and over. And for a little while, it feels like, man, how am I supposed to remember all this stuff? But as you're listening, the Father's setting you up for a couple of days to when you go listen to it again or go to read something else, everything starts coming together in reality. Leviticus 25, 9 through 10. Because there's so much to talk about in these. Leviticus 25, 9 through 10. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. Leviticus 23, 26 through 32. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Now, on the 10th day of the 7th month, we ought to all have this down packed by now. The Day of Atonement. It shall be for you a time of holy convocation, and you shall afflict yourselves and present a food offering to the Lord. And you shall not do any work on that very day. It is a Day of Atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whoever is not afflicted on that very day shall be cut off. I wonder where I got that from. Shall be cut off from his people. And whoever does any work on that very day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall not do any work. It is a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwelling places. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict yourselves. On the 9th day of the month, beginning at evening, from evening to evening shall you keep your Sabbath. That's his day. It's the day. And we're going to go into Luke chapter 4. And Jesus, Yeshua, returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And a report about him went out through all the surrounding country. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Now imagine Yeshua, him reading that prior and knowing exactly, listening to the Holy Spirit to be at the right time, at the right place, to fulfill the prophetic word. And it was spoken that day, this day, today. That's what he said. Today it's been fulfilled. Now there's a day coming, Yom Teruah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, and in the near future, that's the last three prophecies to be fulfilled. And it may very well happen in our time while we're alive today, in the days to come. Maybe it might happen after we're in the grave, but it doesn't really matter, because if you're in the grave, it's going to be as if you didn't go anywhere. It's just like you just close your eyes and open them. That's what we've learned. So it doesn't matter if you're alive or you're dead. When it comes, the prophecies are going to come to pass. And so it was spoken that day. It was done. Yeshua fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that day. In the future, he will fulfill the last three. It speaks about that. You can read in Revelation. Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets. This day, Yom Kippur, is the Feast of Atonement. And Sukkot is the Feast of Tabernacles. When you go through all the messages, you keep hearing that over and over. You hear it over and over. And before you know it, you're remembering. And then you're performing and you're doing those things. You remember for the next time. Okay. Revelation chapter 11, 15 through 19. Revelation 11, 15 through 19. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet. And there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, 'We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, who is and who was, for you have taken your great power and began to reign. The nations raged, but your wrath came, and the time for the dead to be judged, and for rewarding your servants, the prophets and saints, and those who fear your name, both small and great, and for destroying the destroyers of the earth.' Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and the ark of his covenant, was seen within his temple. There were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and earthquake, and heavy hail. So it was also reminded that the Ark of the Covenant is Yom Kippur. We talked about that. Then we're going to get into dress rehearsal. This is in Matthew chapter 13, verses 38 and 39. This is Matthew 13, 38 and 39. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. I might want to pay attention to this one. And the reapers are the angels. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. So I'm trying to still learn this one. Passover is the barley. Shavuot is the wheat. And Yom Kippur is the grapes. Right? So we got to learn those. We got to remember those. We just went through Passover, Shavuot, Yom Kippur is the grapes. Passover is barley. Shavuot is wheat. Yom Kippur is the grapes. Exodus 23:16, and I was just referring to Matthew 13, what I just read. Exodus 23:16. Three times in the year you shall keep a feast to me. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. As I commanded you, you shall eat unleavened bread for 7 days at the appointed time in the month of Abib. For in it you came out of Egypt. None shall appear before me empty-handed. You shall keep the feast of harvest, of the first fruits of your labor, or what you sow in the field. You shall keep the feast of ingathering at the end of the year when you gather in from the field the fruit of your labor. You see? Revelation chapter 14, verse 18. And another angel came out from the altar, and the angel who has authority over the fire, and he called with a loud voice to the one who had the sharp sickle. Put in your sickle and gather the clusters from the vine of the earth, for its grapes are ripe. So we just got finished talking about Passover is barley, Shavuot is wheat, and we get to the last three feast days. Yom Kippur is the grapes, for its grapes are ripe. Then we have the Day of Atonement. Leviticus chapter 13, 30 through 31. For on this day shall atonement be made for you to cleanse you. You shall be clean before the Lord from all your sins. It is a Sabbath of solemn rest to you, and you shall afflict yourselves. It is a statute forever. Then Leviticus chapter 23, 26 through 32. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Now on the 10th day of the 7th month is the Day of Atonement. It shall be for you a time of holy convocation, and you shall afflict yourselves and present a food offering to the Lord. And you shall not do any work on that very day, for it is a Day of Atonement. To make atonement, I read this one already, but I'm going to just read it again. To make atonement for you before the Lord your God, for whoever is not afflicted on the very day shall be cut off from his people. And whoever does any work on that very day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall do no work on it. It is a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwelling places. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest. You shall afflict yourselves on the 9th day of the month, beginning at evening from evening. So shall you keep your Sabbath. And so we're going to get into the word atonement. The English for atonement, I mean, a lot of this has come off of pastors' teachings, but this is what I'm just going to keep going over it and over to learn it. The English word for atonement originally meant at one meant or at one with, like being in harmony with someone. In this case, being in harmony at one with Yahweh through the atonement that was made possible by the death of our Messiah Yeshua on our behalf, right? And then the Hebrew word for atonement is kapar, with the verb form being kafar, and means to cover, purge, reconciliation, to cover with or coat with pitch. And there was two scriptures he talked about. I'm going to read them. The first one we read about is in Genesis, Adam and Eve. In Genesis 3:21, and the Lord God made for Adam and his wife garments of skin, clothing, to cover them. That was the animals that were sacrificed to cover them. Genesis 6:13-14, talking about Noah and the pitch that was on the ark. God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourselves an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. They had to have a covering. There was no pitch, the ark wouldn't have survived. It had to have the pitch. It had to have the covering. Psalms 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Yeshua paid the price for our sins to be removed. Brother Herman and I was talking about birthdays the other day. I'm not going to get into too much detail about it. But, you know, it's always bothered me. A lot of stuff, and we've been learning, you know, Christmas and Easter and all the things that we've learned. And now we're getting into the real thing. And you know, we talked about, and it was said, and, you know, being born again is the real birthday. Born again. I mean, there was a time that I was lost. And I was trying to figure out things on my own. And I came to here, and for the first time, I found out about, you know, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus at the time to me. He paid a dear price for me to cover me for my sins. And I was able to be born again. You know, our life only lasts so long in this flesh because of sin. We're only going to last so long. But because of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord and Savior, He covers us with His blood. We could be born again. And that starts the real birthday, to live forever. But we've got to finish and do it to the end. Still on a daily basis, sin can be washed out through repentance. But until immortality takes on mortality, we still make mistakes and have to be atoned for. We still have to go before Him. And I thank Him so much for going before the Father for me every time I made mistakes. And when we repent, we can get right back on track again. Our Messiah, who paid that price and makes intercession for me and allows me to afflict myself from anything I may not realize may be sin in my life. That's what this time is for. And again, it's not holding hands with anybody else. It's about our own personal relationship. We know what separates us from God. We know the troubles that we struggle with all the time. We know our flesh. There's things that our flesh does that we probably deceive that we don't realize that we say or do sometimes. That's why it's so important that we take that time to put our flesh on the side and spend that time with the Father. And I had such a wonderful time going through all of these, that I'm planning on doing this again. From evening to the next evening, I'm going to listen to them all over and over, and I'm going to read, and I'm just going to spend my time with the Father. I'm going to make sure I need to spend that time. I was reminded through a message of Brother Troy. He always speaks about the leper. And I want to read that. It's important that I read this, because this reflects on a personal relationship. It really does. In Luke 17:11-19, it says, on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising Yahweh with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? That hit me pretty hard when I read that right there. A foreigner. A foreigner. And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. He gave glory and honor to the Most High God. It turned him around, what happened to him. The other ones kept going their way. This is the personal relationship time. When you realize something, whoa, who is this? What is this? This is a foreigner. Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. A day of fasting. We're going to get on to the fasting part. This is a part that I was kind of thinking the wrong way last year. But after a good studying, last time we got through all that, and I was reading over it again today, it's getting clearer and clearer. The word fast in Hebrew is tsum, to refrain from eating for a period of time. And the Torah does not specifically call us to fast on Yom Kippur, but to anah ourselves. Anah, humbling, mortifying, or afflicting one's soul. In Genesis 15, 13, 14, he shared with us, then the Lord said to Abram, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs and will be servants there. And they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve. And afterwards they shall come out with great possessions. Afflicted, anah. Afflict is anah. Afflicted is synonymous with being a servant or placed under authority of someone else. So we're taking our flesh and saying, okay, I was in charge of my life in this area. I was in command of my life in that area. I was doing things my way in this area. Now I'm putting him in command of my life in this area. I'm putting him in command of my life in that area, in everything. And so he takes charge of everything. Next year, and then if it doesn't come then, throughout the year, I'm going to take this and I'm going to start applying it, not just to Yom Kippur, but my everyday life, spending that. I want to take what I learned this afternoon, these past 10 days. This is another thing Brother Josh brought to my attention. I was so focused on Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur that I totally forgot about the 10 days of getting ready that leads up to Yom Kippur. I totally forgot about that. So as we go along, every time we read and study, we'll be reminded of it and we'll be able to do it the right way. But I forgot about that. I should have been reading and studying and paying attention. So after he read that and he talked about the 10 days, I went home and I started paying attention to the things that I say, the way I act, the things that I'm doing. I'm like, man, I got to work on that one. I got to work on that one. I got to work on this. Yeah, that's a good one. You start thinking about things. You start looking for them, trying to pay attention what I need to stop doing and what I need to do what is right leading up to those days. Because we need to be clean and pure before him when that comes to that day. And I'll get into that in a little bit. Afflicted is a synonymous with being a servant or placed under authority of someone else. It can also be used in context. This one is incredible to use. The marriage vows. It connects and lines up with that day. Numbers 30:13, any vow and any binding oath to afflict herself, anah, her husband may establish or her husband may make void. Our Creator uses the word meaning to humble us or make us low. In Deuteronomy 8:16, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end? It's for our own good. We ought to be excited about being afflicted because I'm going to be able to put this aside and be able to have this relationship with the Father unlike any other time I've ever had, to see things more clearer. It's a test as to see if we will follow his instructions or not. It's not a rule to put any pressure on us to do anything, but it's a test to see where our relationship is with him. Afflict shouldn't be a burden to the believer spiritually. but an excitement to know I'm putting off the control of my flesh from being my master that can ultimately lead me to destruction. Do you know we can let our flesh lead us straight into destruction? He won't have no control. I'm all right. I'm good. Yeah, we're good all right. We totally missed the day. We was way off somewhere else. Psalms 119:71. It is good for me that I was afflicted, enough that I might learn your statutes. Psalms 119:75. I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted, anah me. You have anahed me. Psalms 119, well, that was 75. The root meaning of the word afflict or anah seems to have, I forgot about this one. The root meaning of the word afflict or anah seems to have a linguistic root with the Hebrew word for marital rights or onah. In the Jewish wedding, the bride had to be a virgin according to the law, or she was considered defiled, a whore, an adulterer, right? And we talked about that. They would be stoned to death. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 22, just to bring that back to light, verses 13 through 22. Deuteronomy 22, 13 through 22. If any man takes a wife and goes into her and then hates her and accuses her of misconduct and brings a bad name upon her, saying, I took this woman, and when I came near her, I did not find in her evidence of virginity. Then the father of the young woman and her mother shall take and bring out the evidence of her virginity to the elders of the city and the gate. And the father of the young woman shall say to the elders, I gave my daughter to this man to marry, and he hates her. And behold, he has accused her of misconduct, saying, I did not find in your daughter evidence of virginity. And yet this is the evidence of my daughter's virginity. And they shall spread the cloak before the elders of the city. Then the elders of that city shall take the man and whip him, and they shall fine him 100 shekels of silver and give them to the father of the young woman, because he has brought a bad name upon a virgin of Israel. And he shall be his wife. He may not divorce her all his days. But if the thing is true, that evidence of virginity was not found in the young woman, then they shall bring out the young woman to the door of the father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her to death with stones, because she has done an outrageous thing in Israel by whoring in her father's house. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. It's a serious thing. Isaiah 1, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. That is our born again by faith right there. It hasn't come yet. It's not here yet. But by faith, we believe. I didn't see Jesus. I didn't see Yeshua die on a cross. I read about it. I believe what happened. It's true. And though my sins are as scarlet, I come before him and I repent. And he cleanses me white as snow. It's by faith. It hasn't happened yet. But every day he keeps me to the day of atonement when it comes. It says, but one day it will be reality by faith right now. You know, like I was listening to a song today. I went to Chick-fil-A today. And I got me some chicken soup. I love that stuff over there. And I got in the truck, and I just got finished listening to a bunch of messages, and I put it back on again, and I paused. I just paused. It's like the Lord just dropped that song on my heart. You know that song? It's that song, Abba, I Belong to You. And that part where he talks about reality. You're my reality. That's right now. He's my reality. But that's going to come for true one day. It's really going to happen. But right now, I'm telling you, when you listen, and you feed and you feast and you feed and you feast and just spend that time with him. It's like, whoa, you don't want to come back. You just want to stay locked there forever. You don't want to come back. I can only imagine what it's going to be like tonight, going in throughout tomorrow, because I done made myself available, because I know he's going to teach me some things. He's going to guide me some things. He's going to open up my understanding. He's going to block out everything you think about, everything, business and work and people and phone calls. It's all got to be blocked out to spend that time with him for a while. That's what he wants. And it's a help. Afflict yourselves, because I want to be with you. I want to talk with you. I want to share with you. And that's what I want to be. I want to know. I want to hear. I want to make sure I'm doing the right thing. Because as we read on further in here, we want to make sure. Because it's a scary thing to be on the left side. You don't want to be on the left side. You don't. As I read it, it kind of reminded me today of a horror show. To be locked out with us weeping and gnashing of teeth. We was always led to believe it was a heaven and a hell. And now I'm looking at the reality of it. If you're not locked in the right place, it's not going to be pretty on that other end. We'll read about that in a minute. So Yeshua paid the price so we could have that brand new start to get it right, to be pure for the wedding day, starting with Yom Teruah, leading up to Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. We got to make sure we are pure for the wedding day. This is rehearsal, and this is what we're required to do. And not just for Yom Kippur, we should be propelled from this to do this every day hereafter. If there is any defilement found, we are cut off according to the scripture. If our Lord returns on the future day of trumpets, it is possible that we may be taken into the bridal chambers, dead in Christ, raised and meet him in the air. Bride and the bridegroom meet face to face during Yom Kippur. Ana brings forth Ona, the pure marriage. Isaiah 26, verse 21, 19 through 21. Isaiah 26, 19 through 21. This one got my attention today. So when you read, your dead shall live, their bodies shall raise. We already know what that is. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy. The dead in Christ are raised. For your dew is a dew of light, and the earth will give birth to the dead. Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourselves for a little while until the fury has passed. For behold, the Lord is coming out from his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. And the earth will disclose the bloodshed on it, and it will no more cover its slain. When I read that part right there, Pastor kind of emphasized on it, hide yourselves, to be in the hoopah, the covering. There's something that's going to be happening on the outside of the hoopah. There's a punishment and there's a horror show unlike anything you can imagine. Because you pick up on these pieces, like you read in Matthew 22, he says, 1 through 14, he says, and again, Yeshua spoke to them in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business. You see it? Another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry and sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find. And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. I always thought about this guy I'm fixing to talk about. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?" See, people can put on the show. People can hide and put the face mask on. Here, in public places, with other people. You may even make it to the wedding feast. But you ain't got the right attire on when Messiah comes walk up to you and says, "Hey, where's your garments?" And you do like this guy said. He's speechless. That's what the word says. He's speechless. "Bind him up and put him in outer darkness where there'd be weeping and gnashing of teeth." What's going to be going on the outside? You don't want to be out there. Can you imagine the angels, the reapers? Stuff's going to be being destroyed, fire. There's going to be hellish things to pay for not paying attention and not listening. We was talked to in a bunch of those messages. If you listen, there's a lot of people that's going to be saying, "What are they doing over there?" It's too late. It's too late to try and think about. The 10 virgins. 5 had it right, the other 5. You know, we got to have it right. This has got to be applied in our lives. This can't just be some knowledge we put in our brain and just come to church and say, "Oh, we had a Yom Kippur. Oh, we had the Day of Atonement. Yay. We had another service." We got to put this in. There's a wedding coming, and there's a war coming. A wedding and a war. There's 2 trumpets. There's a trumpet going to sound for Yom Teruah, and there's going to be a trumpet that's going to sound for when the thing closes. It's going to close. The door's going to shut. And that's it. Ain't no getting in. Ain't no getting out. So we got to ask ourselves our question in this Yom Kippur. Where's our relationship with the Most High? Where's our gratitude and our thankfulness towards His Son in the way we act and give up the control of our flesh to His control? We owe a lot to Yeshua. We owe Him a lot. He paid a dear price. He's our covering. Do you know that? He's our blood covering. The pitch for the ark, the animals. But now we got our Messiah. He covered us with His blood. And I was praising Him and honoring Him today. I said, "Lord, I thank You so much for covering me that I can have this day in the near future when it does come, that I could stand before the Father." It really clicked with me today. I'm like, I'm thinking, okay, before today, that when Yom Kippur came, you know, we get to be with Messiah and all this. Yeah. And then years later, you know, the Father's going to come. I'm like, wait a minute. When I become immortal, we there at the feast, and we as His, we can see the Father then. Because He can see the Father, we'll be able to have the face-to-face. I understood that today. We'll be able to have the face-to-face because we'll be as He is. The reality sinks in. It won't be no more we got sin on us anymore. We can see. We'll be able to see. We'll be covered and clothed with the reality of immortality from our Messiah that got us there to the wedding day. It's going to be exciting. This ought to be the greatest day ever. It's very disappointing when I get phone calls from Christian people asking, "What you doing tomorrow? What's going on?" You don't know what to say. It's crazy. Some of them, I tell them, hey, I try and tell them, but they have no idea. They don't understand. But as I'm led by the Spirit, I'll maybe share with them one day. Our gratitude has got to be towards Yeshua, our Jesus, our Messiah. We owe Him everything. He's our only opportunity to get in. And He's setting us up to be with the Father. That's the day that I just can't get it out of my head. Ever since Pastor said it, I get things that stick with you. You know, some things just stick with you. You step out of Esau's age, right? You step out of Esau's age into Jacob's age. It's going to be incredible. Well, until then, let's keep getting close to the Father. And we won't give in to the flesh. You sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. We sow ourselves to the Spirit, you reap eternal life, right? We've got to listen to the Father. And so that's all I have. There's just so much to talk about. But be encouraged to go back. I want to do that this year. I got to go back and listen to all these messages. Because from today to next year is a long time. You forget stuff. You can't remember all that stuff after a long year. You can remember bits and pieces, but you go over it again, you're like, whoa, that fits that. Whoa, that fits that. And I'm sure next year everybody will be saying more and more and doing more and fitting it in. It becomes reality. Have anything to say, Pastor? Okay.
First Peter 1:18-20, and it says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Messiah, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you." You know, and how he had to live a perfect life. One sin, and it would have disqualified him. One sin. But yet he, by living this perfect life, by his blood, he gave us an everlasting atonement. Everlasting. And all we have to do is keep our faith in him and know what he did for us. That, and I just wanted to share that scripture because I was just sitting there and it came back to my memories. You know, by the precious blood of Messiah as a lamb without blemish and without spot. I thank him. I thank him for that atonement, that everlasting atonement. That's just what I wanted to share before we got dismissed. Yes.